Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
The Cole Palmer
with
discussion.
Mixing it. We're not doing that today.
Sorry.
What's the mix though?
Sorry, Anita, please. We have to find shame.
What's the mix?
You have to find shame.
What? How can you say best? It's one of the best under 25s at the moment, no?
He's not the best.
He's having a good season.
One of the best.
He's having a good season.
How old is he? 25?
No, he's like 21, 22.
But everybody can name an under 25 player in their team who is running.
Name me an under 25 that's running it harder than Cole Palmer.
Phil Foden.
Saka.
That's running Man City harder than Cole Palmer right now.
You can't, just because because Chelsea are shit, he's elevating him. I'm not saying he's not in good form, but he doesn't have any competition really at the moment in that Chelsea team to stand out.
But you have to look at the fact that there are £100 million worth of players around him.
That's not the best player.
It's not our business. It's not our fault.
Too much money.
I was going to say, it's not our fault that Todd Bowley doesn't know how to negotiate.
She's had a fantastic season.
I don't know why you're laughing. You were going to get Caicedo.
I'm glad we didn't. Stick with Endo.
Trent,
look.
Under 25.
Look.
That's true.
Look.
Oh,
is he?
Yeah, he is.
Trent's been under 25 for a long time.
That's his age.
Wait. I'm Googling that.
Udoji's had a fantastic start to the season. Van de Ven was having a fantastic start to the season.
And Van de Ven's now injured.
He's back, actually. He was on the bench. and we can all name under 25 players.
Then, do you know what? But that's doing it better than Cole Palmer right now.
One second.
How old is Madison?
I can't. I'm so sorry.
I think Madison is too old.
Yeah, he's too old.
Madison's like 26 because we were meant to get him.
Kulusevski.
He's under the age.
Also under the age of 25.
Okay, Kulusevski came back like yesterday, bro.
No, he has not been injured.
Kulusevski has been... So he's been playing since the start of the season.
He's missed one game due to suspension.
Kulusevski?
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about that guy.
He's not been... Because he's not been scoring, but again, this is all...
So Cole Palmer's been scoring. Cole Palmer's been putting in 10 out of 10 performances, but Kulusevski is the hill you want to die on.
Because what...
That was the fourth player that I named.
He's not better than Cole Palmer right now.
But he's slightly playing a different role for Spurs than Cole Palmer plays.
But the question is, name me an under 25 player.
Trent,
that's
Phil
better
Foden.
Than Phil Foden.
Udogi.
I'm not Saka. Hearing
Phil Foden. Yeah, thank you.
You put in Phil Foden, Udogi, Saka.
Saliba.
Saliba, I can hear. Having a great season, so I'll take that back.
But the Phil Foden, Udogi, and Saka, I'm not hearing it. Better than Cole Palmer.
No, do you know what? He's having a great...
Better than Cole Palmer.
One second.
He's having a great season.
But I don't want to have this conversation. I don't think this is worth a conversation right now.
Also having a great season under
Do you know
the
what?
Age 25.
It clearly is a conversation because someone's just named me Kulusevski who's not been having a great season. I'm not hearing that.
What do you mean he's not been having a great season?
Better than Cole Palmer.
That's what I need to check. Created from this season. Go and look at the stats.
Better than Cole Palmer.
Did you just hear what I said?
Sorry, I heard what you said.
What?
Who? Oh goodness, he's 23 years old. He's having a better season than
Cole Palmer.
Yeah,
Kudus is having a better season than Cole Palmer.
Oh my God!
No, you guys are putting in good names, yeah? But when you look at what Cole Palmer is doing for Chelsea, he is the standout player for Chelsea. Just because Chelsea's 10th, it doesn't mean Cole Palmer hasn't been one of the best under 25s. Don't look at Chelsea's position and take away his credibility. I started off saying one of the best.
Where was West Ham this point in the season last season?
And
where
was West Ham?
But then fuck off them because you're trying to tell me that.
He's a good option there, but he hasn't been better than Cole Palmer this season. He's scored more.
He's created more, and he's elevated our team to a better place in the
on his own.
Yes, by himself.
Pretty much.
Who's
different this season than last season? Because Paqueta was there last season. Bowen was there last season.
Declan Rice was there last season.
Rice has not made
it. Keep naming your list, but it doesn't take away from the fact it's the same thing for Cole Palmer. Declan Rice. The thing is, you're trying to rub my boy out. I'm not hearing
you. No.
I'm saying he's been one of the best 20 under 25s, yeah?
So your question was, is he the best?
We're going to roll the tapes again because I started this conversation saying one of the best. In the agenda, it says the best, but I changed it to one of the best just now.
If you want to say one of the best, then absolutely. I just said one of the best.
I said one of the best, but no one wants to hear it because it's a Chelsea player.
Ain't about that.
You lot need to do some soul searching. Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Golden Podcast. Nah. What we're not going to do is rub Cole Palmer out on Beyonce's internet. No way.
We're not rubbing him out.
You know what? Name is 5, 6, 7 players that are not better than Cole Palmer right now. Kulusevski! Piss off! Anyway, welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast, guys. Happy New Year!
Hi, everyone.
Nah, I'm not
kidding. You're so happy.
Happy New Year, man.
Welcome to 2024.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
I didn't get that. That's why I was sat there eating my food, checking my players. Wow. Ella said, hold on, how old is Kudus? And that's when I said, okay.
No, don't start. Don't act like you weren't hyping before the Kudus conversation came into it. You were hyping from the jump.
There were many players who were under the age of 25 who were having great seasons. Cole Palmer is one of them, but he's not the best. That's what I want to hear.
Cole Palmer is one of them.
Yeah, and I said about seven minutes ago he's one of the best,
but we still had this argument.
But that's how you wrote the agenda. It's not my fault the agenda was.
Because we said we don't want to have this conversation.
We said we didn't want to have a conversation based on the agenda. Yeah, thank you.
If you listened to how I changed it at the beginning, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But no, everyone just wanted to jump. He just wanted to jump. He's like, take your Chelsea glasses off. Brother, I'm hosting. I don't even have Chelsea glasses on today. I really wish you get your ass in here. Pick and choose. Anyway, like we said, Happy New Year. I'll be your host today. Apparently, with my Chelsea lens glasses. Anita Bayemi on all social media platforms, and we're here with.
I'm still recovering from that piss off.
That was strong, innit?
That was so strong.
I loved it. That was great.
Brilliant.
I had a great time. I love passion. I love it.
Ella at Elisita.
Philippa Acco.
Lauren at Lauren Coyce.
They got me drinking water like a crazy woman. I can't even remember how I was going to start off the pod. I had like a whole...
We can start again if you want.
You know what that felt like? A Twitter space. Everyone needs to mute in. We need to reset the space.
One house. One house, guys. One house. All right. It's January, which means it is transfer window season. There has been a lot of speculation already, and we're only the 7th day in. I doubt all of these transfers will come to fruition, but one transfer in particular that I would love to talk about is Timo Werner to Tottenham Hotspur. Lauren, how are you feeling?
Fine.
Do you know that kid? He's like, okay.
And then he starts crying.
He starts crying. No, but really though, how are you feeling about that transfer? Do you think it's going to be successful? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. But the way that the deal has been negotiated, if it doesn't work out, we can send him back.
Okay.
In the summer. I do think he'll fit the system. But I can't sit here and act like I didn't laugh at all those chances that he missed, the open goals, every time he was offside, VAR bringing it back. Like, we've seen the best of him at Leipzig, which got him his Chelsea move. And we've seen the worst of him at Chelsea. So I don't know really what I'm going to see. But it's relatively risk-free. And if it does bang, it's a cheap option to buy as well. But we need bodies at this point in time. When I saw Brian Hill coming off the bench to save us, you know what? Come, Timo. Welcome.
But do you guys think or reckon that Timo could link up with Rekalison and Son, right? And Son.
Well, Son is at the Asian Cup.
At the Asian Cup. But, yeah. Oh, that's why you're getting him.
Yeah, because in our strongest 11, Timo doesn't start. But we have a gap that we need to fill because Perisic is ACL. Mm-hmm. Solomon did his meniscus, I can't remember when. So, like, we have a gap in that position.
So what does the front three with Timo look like?
What I think will start next game, maybe him on the left, Richarlison through the middle, Brennan maybe on the right, and then Kulusevski in the 10.
Calm. But, as somebody who was linked with Timo Werner for several seasons. There was last season, there was the season before Chelsea took him, then the season when Chelsea took him. How are you feeling about this move? And speaking of which, bearing in mind you have Darwin Nunez up front. Tread very carefully.
To be honest, I told Philippa, I'm just ignoring Darwin Nunez. To protect my sanity.
Feelings. I've got no affiliation with Liverpool. I already hurt my feelings.
To protect my sanity, I'm just ignoring him. But Timo Werner, I think he's a decent player. Like, he has pace. He's going to cause problems. Just as long as he's not in the nine, I think he'll be decent.
So like, where should they play him?
On the left wing. I think he's
similar to where Chelsea found joy when Havertz was in the nine and Timo Werner was out wide.
Oh,
similar.
There was no joy.
No, you won the Champions League, no?
I mean, yeah. Do you know what? Yeah. I'll say a couple things off camera, but yeah, you won the Champions League.
I'm sorry, you can't see my thumb.
I can see your thumb. I can see the thumb. I'll say them things off camera.
He's better than some of the options that we currently have available. I'll give him that. So, Ange wants to work with him. He wants to come. We'll see.
Just bare roadrunners on the pitch.
Yeah, man. When that offside flag goes up, you don't know who it is along the front line. God, when they miss those open goals.
Nah, but
God.
Him, Richarlison,
and Brennan. Boy,
Richarlison's starting. I'm very happy for Richarlison. He's starting to get his groove back.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think the surgery, he's obviously been carrying some sort of issue for a very long time. He's looked good since he's got the surgery, scoring again. He's still a frustrating type player because he could still score more. Than he is, but yeah, the combination of the three of them, we shall see. But yeah, like, would I rather see Timo playing ahead of like Brian Hill? Yeah, so yeah, you know, we are where we are at this point in time.
Poor Brian, man.
He tries really hard.
He tries so hard,
but he just looks like a strong gust of wind could blow him over. He's just not physically.
I would have thought this summer he would have taken the time to bulk up.
Yeah, that's what I said. The bulking program is clearly not working because he's the same size.
He's
as
slight.
When we signed him.
Slight.
Where do you guys get it from? From it's in Spain, isn't it? Where do you get it from?
Yeah, was it Sevilla?
I was going to say Sevilla.
I think it's Sevilla. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just not putting on any muscle, and it just, you know, it's just he tries really hard. Like, I really respect his enthusiasm, but enthusiasm is putting you on the floor because you're being bounced off the ball. So
Sorry, that's like what you say to a guy when you try to love that gently.
I respect your enthusiasm. I expect your respect your positivity. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work.
Exactly. It's not gonna work. I can't see it working out. But you know, he's on the contract, so maybe he'll go on loan. I don't know.
Again.
What can I say?
Let's move on to save our blushes, innit?
Oh my days! Alright, cool. Timo Werner for me. I wish I was another Chelsea fan here. Should be Timo, should be Brie. Don't know why everyone's right away, but hey. But for me personally, I am a little bit sour that Timo is going to Tottenham. I was sour when Jose went Tottenham, Conte went Tottenham. It's just like every time Tottenham. And I mean this without disrespect, you guys scoop up our talent that we've left behind. And sometimes you have those kind of bonds with these players. And Timo Werner is one of those players that I had a bond with. My dad also had a bond with. Shout out, Dad. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we're not the only club. Yeah. That's the thing now.
What do you mean?
As in your cast off, sir.
Oh, in different,
in different clubs in the league.
Like, there's
I personally don't like doing business with Chelsea, so at least we haven't done it directly. But hopefully, you have a point to prove.
But Chelsea have so many players; it's so difficult not to.
How can you not do business?
That's
with
the problem.
So many players.
And you look at Chelsea's roster right now; you're going to do business with Chelsea players again.
True. Yeah, one of my favorite players this season is an ex-Chelsea player. So,
who?
Emerson.
There we go.
Yeah, I think
Chelsea is different in terms of doing business.
No, of course. But I'm just saying, it's bound to happen.
Yeah,
I'm not saying the talent hood, but they have so many good bits of talent coming in and out of the club that, you know, 6 degrees of separation. It's going to happen to you 1 point.
Sooner enough, maybe Lavia or Caicedo will end up at Liverpool.
Oh, we don't need them. It's fine.
Oh, Perlis.
Can keep them.
Whatever. Anyway, more transfer news. It looks like Man United are bidding, allegedly, for Elise from Crystal Palace.
Why are you laughing?
Why is that funny?
There are tears forming in my eyes.
Like, what projects do they have to present to a young player?
What project do they have?
One thing, I don't think it happens because he just signed a long-term deal. So even if he was keen, it's going to cost them big bucks, right?
Yeah.
But aside from that...
He has a release clause.
No. This new, I think
allegedly.
This new
apparently he has a
I thought the new deal nullified the release clause.
What amount of FFP can United turn up and put all that money down at once and not break FFP, considering the position that they're currently in?
Looking to let go of several players, looking to let go of Varane, they're looking to let go of Casemiro, Jadon Sancho.
And will those fees together amount to what it's going to cost to pay Elise?
Hey, I don't know what his release clause is.
It's like, isn't it like 70 million?
Then probably Casemiro, probably to Saudi. Varane, probably to Saudi. They'll probably pay the big bucks to get those.
They're
going
to go to Saudi now that everybody wants to come home.
Wants to come back.
Hey, maybe listen. If the project has not worked.
Does Ronaldo want to come back?
No, Ronaldo ended the year most goals. He's stat padded. Not everybody.
There
else
we go.
Ronaldo.
And they might look at what Ronaldo's doing. I like that project over there. Who knows? Mm. But they'll be the ones to probably pay the money for Varane or. What's it called?
Yeah, no, you're completely right. The question is, aside from all of that, does Olise keep forgetting how to pronounce his name properly? Does he really want to go to Man United?
Mm-hmm. Timo was linked to Man United on loan.
Yeah,
and said we'd rather go to Spurs.
Because I feel like Spurs' project looks a lot more exciting, especially with Ange and the type of football that you play. The type of football that you play suits Timo Werner way more than Man United's football does anyway. So
I think most players... At this current moment in time, what is their type of football?
It's Man United. They don't have a style of football. Isn't that also a thing of it's Man United that can probably lure Elise to that club?
Yeah, but it's different now because they keep putting players on Twitter of and pictures of young children who don't even remember United when they won trophies because they weren't alive. We are moving further and further away. Sorry. Especially Mariam. Sorry. We are moving further and further away.
You ain't sorry.
We're moving away from those United glory years. Like, we are. Like, it's literally, what's it been? At least 10 years or whatever since Ferguson.
2013, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's a really long time. So that kind of, because it's Manchester United.
All we need to do is look at, you know, Palace superstar of yonder year, Zaha. and see how that fared out for him. Not every move is for you. Even if it's a big move to a big team that are performing well at the time, you really have to sit and think about your talents and whether you're going to fit in that team.
But then you look at, he almost joined Chelsea in the summer.
But I think...
But that project was really exciting before the football started.
I saw straight through that. But
apparently Liverpool are looking at him, so...
I'm sure Elise is a baller. If a club like Liverpool is looking at Elise, you just know that that is a baller. Yeah. And if Liverpool come calling, would he go? Why would you want him to go?
If it's in the summer, he'll have Champions League football at Liverpool. I think he'll be smart. Just a quick one.
I spoke about selfishness with Sammy the other day. Why do you want Elise?
Because it's
A bit selfish?
No, we only have Salah as an option for a right wing. And I feel like Elise is young, can kind of mould him into, not necessarily the next Mo Salah, because no one can replace him. But his talent, his ability, I think his attitude, I think it's a player that we could use. Because in terms of natural wingers, we actually kind of lack that.
Harvey Elliott was playing there
today. Yeah, but now he's a right midfielder. Solution. So, I think it's not even selfishness. I think it's greed. I'm trying not to upset her at the beginning.
And I didn't want to upset her. I just there was a couple of words that triggered me. I got a bit hot.
It was crazy.
I'm a West Ham player and a Ghanaian player. I'm working on myself.
Yes, a West Ham player and a Ghanaian player. Double shots. Okay, I'm working on myself.
Just pray that he comes back healthy from AFCON. Anyway.
Anyway, that was the point. When you're a player like Olise, where you get into your team and you play and you're talismanic and all of that, coming into a team where Mo Salah may or may not be there, I'm not sure about what's going on in the summer, he needs to know that he's going to play.
If he's good enough, he'll play. No doubt. We'll find a space for him.
Okay.
Positions like Trent.
Yeah, but Trent has more of like a dynamic role in the Liverpool team. Where would you put Elise if Salah's still playing?
Because if you think about it, apart from Salah, can you tell me a definitive Liverpool front three that you know they're playing?
That's on Klopp,
you can't.
Yeah, but
none
of them are consistent enough.
Exactly,
really,
and I think that's where Elise, if he's clever, he has to think, damn, I have a chance here, I can break through.
Salah won't be around forever either. I mean, it could be like max two seasons if he came in the summer, waiting for Salah to either retire or go to Saudi.
I'm sure Saudi's waiting. They're on the edge of their seats. They're waiting for him.
He could be the long-term replacement, to be fair.
Yeah, of course. I'm just saying, like, a lot of these players, quite rightly, have ego. So they want to come and they want to slot in straight away. They don't want to have to work for their spot. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's just a question of if he comes, does he get a place in your squad straight away?
It depends, because you look at Fabio Carvalho, who... Damn!
He's entitled, man. Damn. Sorry.
But do you see what I mean? You see the difference between someone like Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott and someone like Fabio Carvalho. And I'm not even criticising Fabio Carvalho. He wants to play football. But at the end of the day, if you just be patient and trust God,
I hear that. But then there's also an added element for the likes of Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones where you are homegrown players. Your entire families support this club. So it's like you are willing to put in the effort and strike and like knock on the door for a little bit longer because your heart resides on L19.
And
they've
also got that kind of security because I swear every Premier League team needs a certain amount of homegrown players anyway. Agreed. So they've got security already. So I guess you're right. Like Carvalho, he's kind of asking for that opportunity, I guess.
But he was never going to get that being away.
Yeah, but I always think as a player, in your mind, you think you should be starting. Ask yourself who should be benched.
I'm sure he says Harvey Elliott. I'm sure he's saying
But I feel like he was kicking off at a time when like Fabinho was still there.
He could have been playing today, potentially. That's what's really funny, because he's gone to Leipzig. He didn't get any game time. And now he's probably going to go on loan again. And all he's doing is backing himself out of Klopp's plan.
Yeah.
And it's like... He really needs to be within the group. Because you saw today, Klopp brought on the kids. And let me tell you, these kids are actually very talented.
Yeah. Mm. He took off kids to bring on kids. Exactly. That's what got me.
I was thinking, wow, the younger gen. Yeah.
You're probably thinking, who are these players? You probably think about who are these players. But we know who they are. Like, Conor Bradley did a great job at right back while Trent went in midfield. But Klopp will put faith and trust you and throw you in. Look at Kwanzaa this season. People probably haven't spoken about him. Played today, played great. Another guy named, by the way.
I know. Don't worry about it. I have my finger on the pulse.
He's going to be a great player. So you've got one. You've got one there. But
she hates you today.
What the? I can't deal with you today.
But even if you look at Liverpool as a whole in our title run, the kids, how they've matured, Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones, they've been a big part of it. They haven't been like a bit part. Mm. They've been very influential.
Yeah,
exactly. Carvalho could have been
a part of it.
Could have been.
Sure, let's even forget about Carvalho and let's go straight into today's game. You guys, Liverpool beat Arsenal 2-0 in their gaff. And it was a pretty end-to-end game. I think as a neutral, it was very enjoyable. Is that a word?
Yeah, very enjoyable.
That's a very standard word, babe.
Thank you. I wanted to be more audacious, you know?
That's a bigger word than enjoyable.
I'm not sure if it applies in this context.
What does audacious mean?
Don't worry about it. We'll tell you afterwards.
I got an A star in English literature, just saying. So nobody even... A star.
A. So Liverpool beat Arsenal 2-0 in their own gaff. And Arteta seems to believe that Arsenal should have won that match. Ella, thoughts?
It just makes it sweeter for me because I went in the game quite, okay, if we lose, we lose. Like, we've got a semi-final to play. We've got them in a few weeks, the same fixture. We have no Salah, no Endo, no Virgil. Like, I didn't expect us to win this game. Played a really poor 45 minutes. But I thought we were decent in the second half. And Arsenal's missed opportunities. Damn. Boy. Snatch and grab.
And it's unfortunately, Timo ain't here to point it out, but it's another week where just no Arsenal fans want to show up. Shai has tons of light. She's not really feeling well. But I look at the other Arsenal fans. Hey, I put the open invitation in the group chat. I said, anybody want to come through? Arsenal fans making up excuses about
Arsenal.
Shame about the Arsenal.
Shame about the Arsenal.
Oh, there's no one here to respond, so. Thanks, guys. Glad you like this one.
What's happening today?
Just one moment of peace. One moment of peace, please.
I do think I don't know if I like it when managers come out and say that they deserve to win a game when they have lots of chances. They play well, they have lots of chances and they just don't put it away. And the other team may have not been great at the beginning but then grow into the game and then take their chances and show that they also... Cause nobody deserves to win a football game.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? You earn the football game. So I think it's a little bit... I'm not a fan of it. Especially for a game like this. It's not like a game where decisions went against you and, you know, or you're down to 10-9 men or, you know, there are circumstances where you can say you deserve to win a game and you didn't. But I don't think that's today. Sorry.
They just missed too much.
Yeah, and they just shots, missed no too goals. Yeah, they missed too many chances today. And I feel like one of the things that we can say about Liverpool is that Liverpool, when they are given their chances, they will not miss half as much as Arsenal did today. And that's where the problem arose from. And obviously, Kiwi. I don't know how to say his name.
Kiwi.
I don't know, honestly.
Kiwi?
I was like, who's this?
I legit don't know how.
Kivior?
So is it a V?
I think the Polish pronunciation is
Kivior. Yeah. That's easier because I can't say my R's and my W's properly. So Kivior.
Mm.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Okay. Let's call him Kivior. Kivior with the own goal, and then Luis Diaz with his goal at the end as well, because Arteta decided to bomb everyone forward and leave them completely exposed. But before that, was we expecting Liverpool to take the win today? Before
the own goal, I was expecting it to go to a replay.
Same.
I'm not going to lie to you, I was. And at that point, when it's 0-0 and all said and done, Arteta can be like, you know what, we didn't take our chances and we really should have taken the game, but we didn't, and we move. That's fair. But if, you know, yes, an own goal was unfortunate, but Liverpool were in the space and it was a great delivery of a ball. So once that happens and then you have no comeback and then at the last gasp, you concede another one. No, it's not you deserve to win. You had so much time beforehand. Because like you said, it didn't look like Liverpool were going to score a goal.
Yeah, to be fair, Liverpool, I would say, also had chances. Like Ramsdale had a good game.
Yes,
Ramsdale,
great game.
He actually had a good game.
Told Raya to come outside.
So I think it wasn't one-sided in terms of chance creation. But at the end of the day, you just have to put the ball in the back of the net. And this is becoming a pattern now over recent games with this Arsenal team. They're not scoring enough goals.
You see, it's such a shame that we don't have an Arsenal fan here, because before we talk about Darwin Nunez, which we will come to Darwin Nunez, because boy, it's just a conversation that needs to be had, right? He wasn't the only frustrating striker on the pitch. It was Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz was extremely frustrating, and Arsenal just seemed to have a striker issue. Gabriel Jesus, he's not enough. Eddie Nketiah, apparently, he's not enough. And then Kai Havertz giving it a pop. It's just not enough. So Arsenal need to go into this transfer window and find a striker, an out-and-out number nine?
I think they need one. Whether they can afford one in this window is a different question. But I feel like it's never been enough. Like, because when, like, Jesus is probably their most prolific of their striker options. Because Havertz today we saw that enough times in Chelsea shirts. So there's not even need to discuss it. Like, you literally, that's how he plays in that position. But you look at Jesus, if you knew he could get to 25 goals a season, or maybe even 30, that means that Saka and Martinelli maybe only have to chip in with 10, 15 if you're going to take on that City side. But because Jesus doesn't even really get to 20, that means you then need your wide players to be getting to 15, 20. Each. Or you also then need Trossard to chip in with 10. And it just means that, and if the production, like today, Saka and Martinelli or Reece Nelson, who started, is not there, and then you also have a striker that's not prolific, over the course of a season, or even in, as we're seeing now, in actual 90-minute games, they just don't have enough up top. So, and for me, like, that's why I've never picked them to win the title, because I just don't think there's not enough goals in that front line unless Saka and Martinelli are overperforming to keep up with City, to be fair.
But I find it so strange, because last season, Saka and Martinelli were overperforming. They were doing extremely well. So I'm kind of just looking at the Arsenal team like, what's changed? Is it the style of play? Is it the tactics? Is it Arteta? And you look at Saka, him in himself is a problem, because he does not look the same Saka as he was last season. He's injured. He's playing injured.
And I think
I think it's
several things. I think Saka's injured. I think Martinelli is underperforming. So last season, if you're going to say that he overperformed and then there's a performance level, I think he's underperforming. But also, let the Arsenal fans online tell you, they need an eight.
Okay.
Love Declan Rice, and there's been a lot of Declan Rice discourse, and technically I was calling for it to stop, but we're here, we're talking football. You cannot be the sort of player that Declan Rice is and play for a team like West Ham for the majority of your playing career and then transition into an Arsenal team and then expect that there's not going to be a transition period of making sure that his progressive play improves.
Yeah.
That's not the player that you bought.
And you know what? It's funny, because when Southgate tried to use him as a progressive player, that's what everyone was calling him shit. Everyone was saying Declan Rice is shit.
So he's, if you play him,
he's not a progressive player. Really progresses the ball.
And that's not a shot, because obviously it's my own team. So if that is the way that you're playing, he needs to play along somebody who's going to move the
he's a ball carrier, but you need someone who's going to be more of a playmaker mm-hmm. alongside him in order for that to work.
But isn't that where Odegaard comes yeah. in?
And they bought Havertz to play on the other
yeah,
side.
Yeah, to play a little deeper.
Yeah, but that's
it,
the
yeah.
problem now, because I think Odegaard is more advanced. So he's higher up the pitch, pressing. And I don't know what Havertz is doing, realistically, even in the midfield role. Mm. He's like he's... When you watch him play in the midfield, you're not being like, oh, he's really good at that or really good at this. He's just there. Mm. So I think you then have Declan, who's quite exposed because he's trying to protect his back four. And because that skills, that passing ability isn't in his repertoire yet.
Yeah, and it's a
it's
yet,
just hard. Like, Arsenal's patterns of play are completely different to how they were. But also I do think, with going back to Saka and Martinelli, they're young players and you get to a level... And what gets you from being a really young, really good player to world-class and sustaining that is having to reinvent yourselves. Because mm-hmm. when yes. you get found out and people know what you're going to do, you have to reinvent yourself. And I just think Martinelli plays the same way that he plays every single time. People are finding it out. Saka needs to... They need to buy another right winger because he needs to get some rest.
He needs rest.
Like, he needs rest.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, some fans of, like, top sides complain... Oh, so and so put two players against so and so, or you know, they just like they part the
basketball. That's football. No block. Oh,
it's football now.
It's like, yeah,
that's what football is now.
They're trying not to lose.
But then yeah. it's like, but then there are also other teams who adjust their style of play based on who they're playing.
Mm. Bruh.
Pep is king at that. Mm. So,
like, this.
I think it's a couple of things. I really do think that they need an eight. I think that they've got players who are overperforming, who are not just performing, they're actually underperforming right now. And I think there needs to be more personnel. They have a thin squad. A lot of us have thin squads. It can't be helped. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just a culmination of all of that. And that isn't to say, like, let's be real, they were picking up points better than they were. Like, they were picking up points at a really good pace, but if you look at the way that they were playing earlier on in the season versus last season, you preferred last season's performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not a thing of, oh, things have unravelled now. No, it's just that people are waking up and, you know, playing accordingly, essentially.
I'd also say they're a bit shakier defensively as well, because I would say that Zinchenko, when he plays, and Ben White, when he plays, are not as good as they were last season either. So I think that it's a lot for Gabriel and Saliba, who were having good seasons.
I was going to say, better make that disclaimer.
Yeah, before people accuse
make
of having an agenda.
Disclaimer right now.
The centre-halves are having a fantastic season. I would probably say maybe they're playing better than they were last season.
Yes.
But they've got an issue with the fullbacks.
Yeah, for
issue
sure.
with the fullbacks.
So to wrap it up on Arsenal, what is success for this Arsenal team this season? Seeing as they're out of the Carabao, they're out of the FA Cup. Ella, I'll come to you. What does success look like?
Win it then.
They have to win.
Win what?
Lauren.
Wait. Hold on. They have to win what?
One of the two. They have to.
Which one? The Champions League or the Premier League?
You know what? I'll give them a bit of a blind in the Champions League just because they're coming back. But the Premier League, they should absolutely be looking to win it, because when you've come so close, especially last season, and with City not to this point,
I love how
please.
You said that, because we don't know when they're going to turn on
the
engine.
Kevin De Bruyne is back, please.
I definitely think the car is starting.
The car is... He came out the chamber.
Yeah, man. It's
came out the chamber.
It's definitely finished the service in the garage. It's ready.
The points that City have dropped, Arsenal will be hugely disappointed not to be top of the league, not to have a gap in terms of being top in the league. And realistically, will
they're
they
fourth,
have...
Actually. Not even talk about top of the league.
Damn.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Didn't even know that.
We're 1 point behind them. That's how I know.
But realistically, you look at this season, will they have a better chance with the way City are probably going to look better next season, with the way Liverpool are going to grow, Chelsea. With the way Tottenham are coming up? You know, Chelsea. Yeah.
You never saw her face.
Ella.
I'm gonna watch the clips back. Watch the clips back.
But this is their best chance, and with the money they spent, it hasn't been spoken about. They went seasons being the top spenders in the league. They have to win. Whenever you're top spenders, you have to win.
You know what? No, when it comes to Arsenal, you know we never speak about money. You're actually right.
And no, it's true.
It goes under the radar because it's like they'll spend money in a cumulative way, rather than a lot of other clubs will have like big marquee signings. However, this summer they had a big marquee signing, and they also spent a lot of money in total
for their title charge.
So for me, it's like I personally don't have any skin in the game, but I know there are Arsenal fans looking at Arteta like, now what, bruv? Mm.
So would you sack Arteta? Because people, hey, it's not me that's saying it.
Disclaimer.
No. I'm saying put yourself. I'm saying put yourself in an Arsenal fan's shoes. Yeah.
She can't.
Do you know what? I'm gonna ask somebody else. No, no. You guys are too faithful to your manager.
This is for you. For me, if I was an Arsenal fan, bearing in mind what happened last season, and it was like, cool, we got pipped at the post. This is the season to do it. Like we've said, see if Mr. Talisman. And also, it seems like this is a rebuilding year. They're bringing a lot of young players through and rejigging things. This is the time to take advantage of City's misgivings. We all know that they're about to be absolutely fine. But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it does look like, okay, we're out of the domestic cups now. We're still in Champions League.
Still got that.
Like Ella said at the beginning of this segment, they need to win one of the two in order for Arteta's head to remain.
And if he doesn't,
an Arsenal fan, we're going to start asking questions, because Arsenal fans have been asking questions for a little while. Mm. Last season was an improvement on the season before, for sure. But the two seasons before that, they weren't happy. So it's one of them things where it's like, are we seesawing?
I feel like if Arsenal do not win the Premier League or the Champions League, they should still give Arteta another season. I think they're so close. They're this close to winning something. Maybe not a Premier League, maybe not a Champions League, but they're very, very close to getting another FA Cup.
The FA Cup won't appease them.
And we had people saying last season that he shouldn't have even made it to this season.
So, again,
no skin in the game. So nobody come for me. I don't care. But they are so close. They are so close.
But this is the time.
I think for me, this should have been the season where they should have won the Premier League. The Champions League is out of the question, in my opinion. But the Premier League,
don't
I feel like...
No. Win it then!
It's above my pay grade. I don't know that one.
I know that's right.
I don't know her. But my pay grade.
I do feel the Champions League is out of question. But the Premier League, they're just this close to doing it. But then again, it's kind of like, how many times you're going to be this close to doing it and then keep fumbling down? So I don't know. Let's see how the rest of the season goes.
And like you both have said, if you're this close, but you know that City and Liverpool are rebuilding their squads to go again for a supercharge. If you don't do it this season, I think they'll be further away.
You might get left behind.
Yeah, they'll be further away next season.
Speaking of City and Liverpool rebuilding, recharging, etc., it looks like Liverpool's already charged.
The thing is, we're not even, Anita.
You guys are top of the league.
It's just because, in my opinion, City and Arsenal have dropped and Liverpool have... Okay, so I've seen Liverpool be like relentless and almost near perfection in the 1920 season. And I'll say we're quite a distance from that. Mm. But now I'm thinking the way the league is looking, do we have to be that? Probably not.
No.
And I'm just looking at January performances like today, just get the results.
Mm.
Without Salah, without Endo, get the results. And then when they come back, we'll try. We'll do our best.
And I feel like, wasn't it the season where Salah went to AFCON and everyone thought that Liverpool was probably going to drop points?
Yeah.
You guys didn't lose in January.
No. Yeah. We've only lost 2 games out of 27 with Salah not playing. Yeah.
There we go. So then you kind of look at Liverpool's upcoming fixtures and you look at the January fixtures and you look at February and you kind of think, where will you guys be stopped in this kind of title race, especially with City still rebuilding, with Arsenal dropping points, that they're dropping flyers. And you, obviously Aston Villa, no disrespect to any Aston Villa fans that do listen, you don't expect them to go for a title charge fully. You don't expect Newcastle to find some form from somewhere and go for it. Don't expect Tottenham to. Like you said, I was thinking, Newcastle got to mention Tottenham. But like you said, they're not going to go for a title charge. So you guys are pretty much the spearhead for this title charge. And does that place an expectation that you've got to win this? We're in the second half of the table of the league now, so no one can shout at me about a title race.
I'll wait for my first. I'll make my point.
That episode is raw, man.
I'm just saying, now is the time. So now
I think we're in a good place, but injuries really concern me because we're very thin. We've obviously not got Robertson and Tsimikas. Gomez is playing left back. He's not a left back, obviously.
He's doing pretty well.
He's doing all right. But he's injury prone. Kanate's injury prone. You're just waiting and. Yeah, I just still think we possibly need a couple of additions in January just to, solidify it. We pray for Thiago.
I feel like at this point, God's not listening to your prayers. At this point,
Thiago is
he's
lost.
Tired.
Thiago is lost in a book of where's Wally. He's not coming back.
Not five Thiago games. He's on his way. I promise.
He's been on his way. Where's he coming from?
You know I support you all the time.
He's really on his way. I promise.
No, but you said this last time.
I promise. We're gonna see
when you let that go. I promise you, you're gonna feel so much relief.
To be fair, what I'll give the Liverpool team is that they've done very well without relying on Thiago.
Because he's never there.
You saw last season. We were terrible in midfield. We were terrible, so it's definitely an improvement. We've got players that can pass a football and progress it. I promise you, we're improving.
That's so bad.
He is coming up to a year since he started for Liverpool. February 4th, he's coming quick.
She's finished.
I've marked the date, I have.
Oh my goodness.
I've missed him that much.
And if we don't see him on February the 4th, come on.
I might set myself an alarm.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the calendar.
Please.
Oh my God. I'm actually crying.
I can't let him go. He's too special. He's too special to me. He's too special.
Oh my god. I'm so sorry.
But once
guys.
He comes back, I'll be confident.
How many games does he need to stay fit before you feel the confidence?
I don't know. I just want five games.
We actually have to move on.
I just want five
She wants 5 games. That's fine.
But I also want to shout out Kanate because I thought he was superb.
Man of the match today.
Superb.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He was superb. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at his appearances across the board since he's come.
It's not been terrible.
It's not been that bad. It's actually not.
It hasn't.
I apologise for laughing.
Thank you.
But god damn, man. That nigga been on his way back for time.
Listen, Ella rides for her players. I really respect that because I hate mine most of the time.
Okay. So. Seeing as you're riding for your players, let's talk about Nunez, so yeah? No. The one that you're ignoring. Let's ride for him.
I can't watch a Liverpool game without wanting to rip my arm off and throw it at the television. I am not affiliated with Liverpool at all. Family members, godmother, whatever. Mm. But like, he makes me angry.
He gives me the Julia Roberts vein, and he's not even my own
player. He's not my own player.
This is why I ignore him.
But the thing is, okay. Sorry. I had Timo Werner for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't... It's really impossible. Take heart. But it's really impossible to ignore what is happening right in front of your eyes. And it's just the catastrophes of the misses. That the way that he misses the goal is ridiculous. And it's not even just the goals. It's the link-up play. He's not linking up with nobody. Every time he's... There was a pass to Diaz. Only one man left.
I knew before he even passed the ball, it wasn't reaching Diaz. I knew it would have not reached Diaz.
You just set yourself...
This is exactly...
When you have low expectations, you can't get disappointed.
But then this is the feeling that I would get with Timo Werner. Is it a thing of Nunez needs to go?
I wouldn't say that, but he just needs to study the game, go home and play tapes of Suarez, Cavani, your people. Please.
He's always in the right position, man. He makes
the 2 hours runs. Before training. I need you to those netter balls? I need you to walk on the pitch. Just
she
practice.
Said, carry the balls on your back.
Go to the
after
cages.
Training, I need 2 hours of finishing sessions. Just you.
Passing to you.
The thing is that, okay, jokes aside, Nunez is not a bad player.
Positioning
is sensational.
He's one of the best in the league. Literally one of the best in the league.
He always gets himself in.
He's a fox in the box. Yes. He will get himself in the perfect position to score and then bottle it out of nowhere. And you look at it and you're just thinking, you are a striker. Your role is to be a striker. You're not an eight that turns into a striker. You're not a Havertz. You're not this, you're not that. You are a out and out striker. How your positioning is better than your finishing is beyond me. It is beyond
me. Yeah, because then you look and think.
It's concentration.
But positioning is about intelligence, because he knows, he anticipates where the ball is going to be. So he puts himself there. But then it's like, as soon as he then has to make a secondary decision that's maybe not instinctive to him.
He's a striker.
Yeah,
but do you know what really killed me? Because we weren't on the pod when the United game, when he stopped, when he could have just put the ball in the
net. I promise you,
that was the day I started ignoring him.
I would have ignored him too!
You just said it, and I just put my hand over my mouth because it's just replayed in my head.
And Gary Neville, the comments.
Oh my God.
Gary Neville's a Man United fan.
Because you know what, with Nunez, sometimes it's just beyond explanation. Because sometimes, you know, when you have a puzzle and you can't figure it out, and when it's actually a decision where you just don't understand why he's making that, that's when I was like, nah, it's wraps. I can't pay attention.
No, he's tapped. I'm so sorry. It's harder to get yourself in the position and get the ball.
For real.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
That's what we're saying.
How do you have the intelligence to be in this position? And you just can't execute the next decision.
He will get into the best position any striker will want to be in. 9 times out of 10, a striker scores the goals that he's missed. 9 times out of 10. But he, I don't know what goes on after he gets into that place. It's kind of like high IQ, low tech?
I don't even know if it's low tech. But I think it's concentration.
Sometimes when he does, like that ball that he had, what was it, with the edge of the box, where he basically just, like, he made the mistake when he did the run, and then he came back to the edge of the box and he just finished it. Like, clearly the guy has technique.
Oh, he has technique.
But just like... he's a conundrum. He should be studied. How can you have the brains to do the hard element of it, and then you just fall down?
Oh, I don't know.
At least we can all agree Darwin Nunez has high IQ. It's just the concentration that's lacking at the moment.
Yeah.
Our prayers go out to Ella and Nunez. To Ella.
I was backing you for top four charge.
I love you, but like, if he doesn't do the thing, it's not gonna. I'm not gonna cry.
cry. To be fair, like we said off air, man, you've still got sharp shooters.
Yeah, you've got a lot.
And you've got Salah and Jota.
You've got what Arsenal needs.
We also said that he has other great qualities apart from striking. So, do you know what? If it doesn't happen for him, we're not going to cry about it.
He just needs to not be a nine. Just stick him on the wing, use his pace, hope for the best.
Needs to work on that passing, though.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know how that's going
to
work.
After the way that he squared it to Diaz today, he definitely cannot.
He's a top assister for Liverpool, so let's just throw him away. That speaks volumes
about the rest of your
squad. Maybe it speaks volumes for the rest of the league.
Yeah, probably.
If they're top in the league.
Nice, because he's always there first. He's quick. And then he doesn't
mean... Darwin is quick.
Maybe we need to ask ourselves
questions. He's rapid.
He's quick.
But then so is Modric. And no chance anyway. Of here. No, we're not doing
Let's not get you upset.
We're not. Yeah, that's not. Chelsea have been winning a lot of games lately.
They have. They have been looking much better.
Thank you. Any nice words for the Blues before we move on?
I said they've been looking much better.
I was talking to Lauren.
I'm not surprised. Like, I think a lot of people have in their head the Poch Spurs team that was there and was pushing. That wasn't the team that he had when he started. He had to mould that squad. He had to coach that team. And he had to get rid of some of the crap ones. Like, that was... It took him two seasons to get to a team that people remember now. So, like, it's not surprise like that they're starting to understand his ideas. It's going to take him a while.
What do you think his idea... Do you watch Chelsea? I assume you do because your mum's a Chelsea fan. Mm-hmm. What do you think his ideas are? Because a lot of us are a little bit stuck.
I'm being genuine.
Because I can't. You go to the bridge, and everyone knows when you go to watch your team live-o, you can see the little pieces, and you can see kind of the pattern of play a little bit clearer. I'm still a little bit stuck. So if you can.
No, I think he's very much built on high pressing. The intensity has to be high. The fullbacks need to contribute and they need to be able to get up and down the pitch. Yet he doesn't always... If you've got a De Sassi or whatever playing out wide or a Cole, you're not... But please ask this question.
So I feel like this might be a little bit of a Q&A between me and you, right? Sorry, girls. I'm really sorry. You spoke about the wide players and the fullbacks. Pochettino doesn't use our fullbacks. Well, he started to now, but if Gusto's available, Chilwell's available, Cucurella's available, he will still use the Zazi and Colwill as right back and left back. And it doesn't make sense to us because they are centre backs. Did you have that problem with Tottenham?
No, but we had Danny Rose and Kyle Walker. Yeah. Like we generally had the best fullback pairing in the league at the time. Mm. But we also had... Vertonghen and Alderweireld, who were the best centre-back pairing in the league at the time. I don't think he trusts the centre-half pairing that you have, so he's consolidating with his full-back choices.
But then Gusto has been a prize for Chelsea since he's come back into the squad anyway. He's been one of the best players. So he's had probably three games on the bounce where he's been contributing. If it's not an assist, it's the second assist or it's the third pass, something like that. And he's just turned it up for Chelsea, right? So then you kind of ask the question of why wasn't he starting to begin with ahead of De Zazi? And then Poch will randomly go back to using De Zazi in that right-back space, which just confuses everybody. And then you have the left-back situation. Levi Colwill, I can tell you for free, not a left-back. He tries his absolute best because and he even captained on the weekend. This is his boyhood club, so he tries his best. He tries absolute hardest, but he's a lanky person running down the touchline. It just doesn't work out, right? But then you've got Ian Maatsen, who's on the bench, who, by the way, he is up for a potential loan to Dortmund, which is going to piss me off. But hey, he's on the bench, and you just kind of wonder what is Poch working at with these group of players, because I can't. For the life of me, understand it.
I genuinely think it's just going to take him some time, but I don't think he's got the finished article. Like that, the Spurs team that he had. Not only did he have a very, very good defense, he had Dele Alli and Harry Kane, and he had Christian Eriksen to provide them the chances. You do not have those combinations of players up top. Yes, what he's doing in defense, I'll admit, is a little bit confusing.
It's weird,
with the
isn't
choices
it?
That he's making. But I think people are expecting, based on what they saw that.
that Tottenham team what it did. But in terms of actual players that fit the system of what a Pochettino system is, the starting 11 that was at Spurs is better than for the fit of the system than what he has at Chelsea at the moment. And I think he needs to coach a lot of players in order to get there. Like Mudryk, for example, is quite raw. So like, there's
he's
just
done a good job with him.
Yeah, though. Like I think there's like, even if you look at Madueke, he's like, he's now coming into the team, but Poch is like, well, this is the standard and this is what I was waiting for. But so I think he just needs, I genuinely, if I look and I think what he needs to do is he needs, I think the thing is you've got fullbacks that can play in those positions, but they're never, they're, you always have injuries.
I was going to say that he must be seeing something in training that you're not seeing, because I know what you're saying about Matson, but maybe when he's had Matson in that role in training, he doesn't do the work, or he doesn't look like he's willing to do the work. Obviously,
yeah,
this is all speculation.
About
he doesn't look like he's willing to do the work, because Cole, like you said, is going to put his line, his body on the line for the club, because it's his child club. So if he's moved every which way, it doesn't matter. It may not look right, but it's a case of repetition, in it. It's reps. You're going to be coached. You're going to improve, all of that sort of stuff. And that's probably where Poch is putting his faith into him.
And that's, that happened at Spurs as well. Like when Poch first came, like he nearly got sacked in the first Christmas.
Yeah.
And then he made the change. He was like, I'm going to play the younger players and I'm going to play the ones that really look like they want to be there and the ones who are going to commit to the club. And then we started picking up a few more results, and then he was able to start moulding the squad. So I do agree. I think he's going to play the players that he can trust the most at this moment in time.
That's interesting, because like you said, Nonny is just coming to the team properly. Before, he wasn't playing Nonny whatsoever. Like,
but
he
said, but
we were crying.
He was saying that he didn't like Nonny's attitude and he wanted him to rise it and understand the level in terms of your professionalism that you need in order to play for the club. He's got there now, and now he's looking like a serious player.
But did he get there, or did he force Poch's hand? I'm not too sure.
These are a lot of things that we'll never know. Of things that we'll never know until after the fact. But the one thing that we can see, like you said, you can tell attitude of people who really, really want to be there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like Poch. Yeah, exactly. And it sounds to me like Poch is very much that sort of person where it's like, if you want to go, I'll give you a go, because he feels himself and he trusts himself to be able to coach these players. And like Lauren said, it takes time. Unfortunately, a lot of Chelsea fans don't have that time. But it's But at the same time, we're now halfway through the season and we're starting to understand what Poch was trying to do. So,
nice chat.
But aren't you willing to sell Gallagher? Which is crazy to me.
No, no. Do you know what?
To Tottenham.
Chelsea fans,
he would fit.
We need to rise up.
That would be crazy.
I feel like if Chelsea get rid of Conor Gallagher this January, I will lose all faith in the ownership because
we're not paying that money though that you're asking for.
Which is fair. Good. Don't pay the money.
Yeah, pay it.
No, don't pay the money.
In the summer when he has 12 months,
and
he'll just wait for
the thing is, we don't need to sugarcoat, or we don't need to downplay. I'm talking to Chelsea fans, by the way, not you guys, because I know you guys respect Conor Gallagher, but Chelsea fans, they downplay what he does for this team, especially at this moment in time. You need them players that are going to step up when no one else is stepping up. And at the start of the season, when we were losing games back to back to back, he was that one player that was stepping up. So we should not forget about that. The owners need to not forget about that, and they need to reward him instead of putting him up for sale. I understand we need to fund new players, we need to fund the players that we already have, I get that. But Connor is, he's not the best player in the team, but he's the one in the
he's
team
improving, though.
That will work hard for you.
And I
trust that Pochettino is behind closed doors fighting for him to stay at this club. I would be so gutted if he leaves this club in January.
It would do an absolute number on morale as well. Like, you've got one of your club captains, someone who's been there.
He's technically the captain. Reece James hasn't really been playing.
Well,
he's
technically the captain, someone who's been there for years. Tima talks about the need of players who set by example. And yeah, Connor is a little bit feisty at the minute. You need to slow down with your cards, babe. You need to slow down with your cards, babe. But it's like, if he goes, and he's sold, what message are you sending to your people down in the changing room? So
and the academy.
And the academy.
Yes.
So it's one of them things where it's like, it's they need to teeter on it. And again, it's another question about whether certain owners understand and respect culture at the club.
And let's hope that Bowley and Egbali respect the culture and respect the kids that have been, that have brought up from Cobham, and they're putting their life on the line. Cobble, Gallagher, they're putting their life on the line for Chelsea week in, week out. Gilhurst, cutest guy.
Oh, he's the skinhead one.
Yeah.
So cute. Come on the pitch. I was like, come on, lads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen.
This is England.
Sorry. Too far.
Anyway. He has been sensational every time he's had the chance, he's had the opportunity, and he's another one of those kids that's ride or die for the club. And Gallagher's the same way, Cole's the same way. These are the people that we need to keep ahead. Obviously, I don't mind new talent coming in, but we also have to think about the talent that we already have and the talent that has been growing from the roots. And Chelsea fans that tell me otherwise, yeah, you lot that were crying for Cobham graduates before Frank Lampard came in 2019, I don't want to hear it from you. Like, I really don't want to hear it, because everyone was always saying, why are we always loaning out our players? Why are we selling off our players? Conor Gallagher will be a regret if we sell him.
I remember at the sort of age that these players were when they were coming through, when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, when they started to develop that hunger for the club and what Chelsea were doing in the Prem and the Champions League at that time. Mm-hmm. So everybody just needs to...
That's why I don't want him to be honest. I don't want a player that grew up dreaming of hearing, we hate Tottenham, Chelsea. I don't want it. Like,
we hate Tottenham!
Oh, I didn't join in that.
You didn't join in that?
Bobby!
So much trouble.
Hey, what happened when you got back, bro?
Don't talk about it.
All right, so we made predictions halfway through the first half of the season. I may have said Tottenham are in a title race. And I apologise to you, Lauren. Tottenham are not in a title race. That was very premature.
I would actually have to... I said I would make a... I would accept it in the new year, Christmas. If I'm going to sit here and say Arsenal are in that title race, I can't then sit here and say we are not, because we're only
that's
one point
thing.
Behind them.
That's the thing.
Like, we are, my apology back.
Yeah, we are only one point behind them. We're 6 points off top.
Hallelujah.
If Arsenal are in it, then so are we. We are 1 point behind.
Hallelujah.
We just need to get to February with all the absences, and then we'll see.
Well, Tottenham are in a title race. Let me check this.
We're on 39. I think Arsenal are 40.
Not going to... Putting her glasses on. Are there actual lenses in that bag?
Do you need a sick bag when you see it?
Huh?
Can you see the reality?
No.
It's all right, Lauren.
It's fine. I've won every single trophy that I could possibly have. So maybe you need a sick bag. Yeah. So Liverpool, 45 points. Aston Villa in second, 42 points. Man City with a game in hand on 40 points. Arsenal on 40 points. Tottenham on 39 points and creeping up into that top five. West Ham on 34 points.
Don't worry about it. We'll be sliding back down.
Okay.
No problem.
I'm not going to say a race for top four. I'm going to leave that out.
I just want to race for European spots.
Mm. To be fair, it's a gap between what is the top five, which could get you a Champions League spot anyway, and then everything else.
Yeah. We're about 3 points behind you. So... leave me out of it. You lot can enjoy. No, I'm just here hoping for Europa again.
Just like to point out that Chelsea are only 3 points behind Man United. Creeping up, baby.
United have been terrible
and you still have
to
talk
about
them.
I just want to be in the conversation.
No. Of what? No. Top half?
Yeah, man. Top 10. Gang. No. Top 10, pussy.
That's the bad thing is that no offense. You guys have got better and you've started picking up results, but your league position
they're still
is the same. Yeah, we haven't moved. All right. So who are we putting our money on to win the Premier League?
City.
City still?
They've unfrozen KDB now. It's time for City.
And Haaland has had rest for when that foot feels.
True. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I totally forgot that Haaland hasn't been playing. Oh my God. Mm. What about you, Ella? Who are you going for?
City.
You're just not backing your team.
Don't say it like that.
You have to ask me.
I'm genuinely.
I don't know.
Just off as it stands right now, let's just think about what the table looks like right now.
It's tough. Do you think, I'll change the question then.
Do you think you can go toe to toe till maybe, let's say, April, May?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Give everyone a run for their money.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll be tight between Liverpool and City, and that's what I crave. Yeah. I crave anxiety for the top
spot.
Didn't
enjoy that title.
I'm sure we did.
Yeah, as neutral.
That title fight was good on history.
Yeah. I did enjoy it, but obviously the last day you don't. But.
I remember watching that, the two matches side by side. God damn.
I just can't take the 1 point again. So if you're going to enter this title race, I beg you win it.
Period.
Otherwise, just don't bother.
Enter it, bruv. You're in it.
You're in it.
Top of the league.
Top of the league.
What are you talking about? You're top of the league.
Not quite. February. That's when.
No, okay. No! Well, I've had enough of you, man, doing this.
Tell
them. The goalpost. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't talk about the title race in November. We can't talk about the title race in January. We can definitely talk about it in January.
Yeah, I've said it. Wait to Christmas.
And now she's saying Feb. Next season, someone's going to tell me.
Nah, but it's hard though. I get it. Like, we are knee deep in injuries. We have players in the Asian Cup, players at AFCON.
I'm so sorry. The salary tax does not exist anymore. You guys have proven. You just said the stat.
Yeah.
I've only lost two games in 27 without Salah.
That's true, that would be hypocritical.
You just said the stat.
Still.
I ain't hearing it from your wares. Top four. We've got Aston Villa still in the mix. Reckon they'll go all the way?
No.
But it depends.
Yeah. Right, let's put it to top five then.
They definitely finished top five, for sure.
I think they finished fifth.
What about you, Ella? What are you thinking?
It's a shame because United and Newcastle just ruined that top five Champions League spots.
No, but they
by being if absolutely.
If the English teams go deep, that will help the coefficient points.
What everybody
and I think
that.
West Ham will, and I think Villa will,
and Liverpool.
I
think you guys might win it.
And if
Arsenal, they're gonna win it.
If Arsenal can at least get to the semis and then lose there, then I think that would be enough coefficient points.
Damn.
I want Arsenal fans to smell that trophy then lose.
Mm-hmm. Like you did in the Europa League, because I knew it was ruining your league form. No offense.
All right, so. All right, and then we've got the rest of the European spaces. Then we've got the rest of European spaces. Pip, do you really think that you can slip all the way out of the European places, or is that where your target is going to?
European places are 1-7, right?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it eight?
Eight. My bad. Conference. Eight. I really would prefer not to do conference again.
Look at you, bougie.
No, I'm not being bougie. I just would prefer not to do it again.
In the world.
You didn't want to play in, like, lots of people don't want to play in it particularly, because people cussed us for it. And it was fine. It's fine to do once, but I think to do twice, it's not great. I think we can finish in the top eight. Yep. We just need to keep our heads. There's a lot of variables, as with everybody's team. West Ham, it's a good time to be a West Ham fan, but it's also like a really frustrating time to be a West Ham fan. And like, fans online are not helping either, because you've got half of them who are like, we're playing really shit. Like, I hate this. We need Moyes out. We need something fresh. And then there are people who are like, do you not remember playing Preston North End in the championship? Like, have fucking shame. So it's a sort of poison chalice at the minute, and it's really difficult, because I too can accept that the football that we're playing is terrible and I'm not enjoying it, but I also don't want to be too rash.
To be one thing about Moyes, I think
Moyes,
like, to give him his credit, like, he's made your team hard to beat.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
agree.
Like, generally, regardless of which players are available, it's hard to beat. But then when you do have Paqueta, Bowen, Kudus, they're on the pitch, they're firing, then you'll win games easily. Maybe against the top teams, but you're going to beat everybody else around you. Yeah. Even though you have been beating the top teams with them lot firing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like he's built a team that when they're not in the team, it's not going to go tumbling down the table.
Mm.
And when they are in the team, you'll probably get that Europa League space.
All right, just for time, do we reckon Chelsea and Man United can be fighting for these European spots? And how far do you think they will go up the table, just really quickly?
Where are United now?
Eighth. In fact, Man United, Newcastle and Chelsea, because Newcastle...
Yeah, they're all going to tussle between themselves. Mm. Where are Brighton?
Brighton are seventh.
depending on how I think Brighton are going to suffer with Europa.
Yeah.
So just for context and perspective, West Ham 34 points on 6th, Brighton 7th with 31, Man United 8th with 31, Newcastle 9th with 29, Chelsea 10th with 28.
The reason why I say that is because I think when last season, like I said before, the season beforehand, when we got to the semi-final of Europa, we got so close and it killed the team, so that the next season, when it came to the Conference League, the players were fixated on it. They were like, we must, there's no other option. We have to win this. And therefore, their Premier League form, they just did not give a shit about the Prem, which was absolutely to our detriment. And I feel like for Brighton, because it's their first year in the Europa League, they're going to be so gung-ho on making a splash in it that I'm not going to say that they're going to do as badly as we did, because I think they're mentally better than we were. But it is going to take a toll on them, because playing twice a week is not easy. And they are great at rotating their players, because...
But they've got a lot of injuries.
Yeah. No, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Their players are great at, like, they're great at rotating their players and having people play in positions, different person, but still the same system and keeping it up. But their injury list is piling up to the point where they're now starting to lose personnel who can slot in really easily. Sometimes I read their team sheet and I'm like, I like to think of myself as someone who keeps who keeps himself up to date with other teams' players. Who the fuck are you? Yeah. Like, it's mad.
That's what I think. I actually think with Brighton, because they've got so many injuries.
I really appreciate what you think, but we gotta go, guys. We gotta go. We are over our time, guys.
Damn.
I'm so sorry.
We didn't even discuss Spurs. You always leave us to last because you don't like us.
Do you know what? It actually wasn't intentional. I didn't have Spurs on the agenda today anyway.
Yes, you did.
Top
four push. We spoke about top four push.
No, but we spoke. I think it was Spurs.
Sorry.
We got
Sorry. You're hosting.
You even hosting next week. We can do Spurs all you want next week.
No, it depends on the Old Trafford result. It's coming out of
your gender. I ain't gonna lie. That's why you host it, bitch.
But anyway, guys, it has been another episode of just pure chaos. Welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast. We have been gone for a couple of weeks, I believe. Yeah, a whole month actually, we haven't recorded. So yeah, welcome back, and make sure you subscribe. Follow us all individually and follow us on Gold Diggers UK, Gold Diggers UK _ on Twitter, Gold Diggers UK on TikTok. Make sure you're following us on TikTok. And we will see you next week, where Lords will be hosting. Woo! All right, see you guys next week.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.